I would like to go maybe to start over into the Gospel of Mark, the fifth chapter. Mark's Gospel, the fifth chapter. And we're going to look at a story that's told here. How many of you know all scriptures by inspiration? It's for our learning, for our teaching. And we're here to do that tonight. We're here to learn. Be taught, right? And I guess you could, in some ways, it's not exactly following through with what we've been teaching on walking in God's best, but it, in some ways it is.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get into something that was stirring in me back here in Mark chapter number 5. Now look what it says here in verse number, this is the story of the madman of Gadara, here in the first few verses, I should say, first 20 verses. And this madman of Gadara was so tormented that he was and had supernatural strength. The Bible said he had he was in the tombs in verse number 2. And he had an unclean spirit. He had his dwelling among the tombs or in the graveyard, you might say. And so he had been often bound with fetters. It talks about it. And he had supernatural strength and broke him off. He was in the mountains day and night. And in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You ever heard of people that cut themselves, hurt themselves? See, that's an evil spirit. Then it says, he saw Jesus and he came and worshiped him. See, that's the man's will. That wasn't the devil. That was that man's will. He still had his will. He still could choose to do that. And he cried with a loud voice, "What have I done have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, thou torment me not." Jesus didn't come to torment him. He came to cast him out. He said, come out of the man. He said unto him. Now, Luke's account says he had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." I wasn't going to read this, but here I am. He besought him much that he would not cast them away out of the country. Now, look at this. And they went into the pigs, and let me just skip over that. Look at verse number 15. And the people fled, verse number 14, and went into the city and told it. Now look at verse 15. They came to Jesus out of the city, in other words. Everybody heard about it in the city. Came out to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil. Look at that. And had the legion. There's a whole lot of revelation in that Brother Hagin's book called Triumphant Church. About demons and how they operate. But he was possessed with that. In other words, that one devil possessed him. That demon, that higher order demon possessed him. And then he had a legion. Remember earlier said, "What is thy name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And a legion was a term for a Roman military company. They had between 2,000 and 6,000. So let's just take the lowest number. He had at least 2,000 devils in there. So this one demon let all these other demons under him into this man. But the one possessed him, and then the legion was in him. But sitting and clothed, look at this. They came and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed. Now look at this. This is what I want to get to. In his right mind. And they were afraid. Well, I've never been afraid of people in their right mind. I'm not even afraid of people that aren't in their right mind. But whenever I was a kid, I was afraid of people that weren't in their right mind. I've been around people like that. I didn't know what it was. Today, I know what it was. I'm not afraid of it. I got authority over it. It's demonic. Amen. And this is becoming an epidemic in our culture around us where people just aren't right. And when I say not right, I mean not right in their head. I mean, they'll snap from time to time and just act like people they aren't, you know. They'll become a different person. And so this man, it stands out to me, this has always stood out to me, that he was in his right mind. Now, when you go back there and you read about it, we just read down through a few of the things. He was crying out. He dwelled in the graveyard. Crying and cutting himself. He was tormented. Amen. And so he was vexed and tormented and harassed. Right?
Yeah.
And so now go back to another passage. You can see this. You read that with me. Go to Matthew chapter number 4. and look at something Jesus did when he walked the earth. And you know, this demon was cast out. We just read that. Because after he was cast out, he was sitting and clothed in his right mind. He was normal, in other words. How many of you know the devil makes people unnormal? It's not normal to sexually abuse little children. That's not even natural. You can understand a young man having a lust or physical desires for a young woman and vice versa. But when there's things like abusing children or a woman with woman or man with man, that's not natural. And anything that's not natural is beyond just the flesh.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
And we need to recognize the things that are going on in our culture and not just put psychology terms on it. The Bible gives us the terms for them. It's devils. Now, Matthew chapter number 4, look at verse number 23. This is talking about Jesus' ministry. He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Look at verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria. Amen. Because of the power of God in manifestation. Went through all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases. Now we understand that. We've meditated on that much. But keep on reading. And torments. Underline that word, torments. And those that were, those which were possessed with devils. That's number two. Number three, those which were lunatic. Lunatic means they weren't right in their minds. They act, you know, literally, if I remember right, this is the word, if I remember right, I think I'm thinking right. This is the word, if you look it up, it means moonstruck. In other words, they howl at the moon. They're not normal. They're not normal.
Right, that's right.
Amen. How many of you know normal people don't do stuff like that?
Yeah.
When I say normal, I'm talking about normal in their mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
The devil is not just after people's bodies. He's after their minds.
Yes.
Unsaved and saved.
Yes.
He wants to take ground in those areas. He can't contact a believer any other way than trying to get a hold of their minds or get in their bodies.
Yeah. Come on.
Understand that.
Yes.
And we have to understand mental oppression.
Yes, yes, sir.
When I say understand it, I don't mean study psychology. Maybe there's some things you could learn. I'm not everything's wrong there. You understand? But there's a lot of confusion because they don't understand the Bible. But when I say learn, we need to study what the Bible says about it.
Yeah.
And here, Jesus or these that were lunatic, those that were had torments. Notice that torments, that's a mental thing, mental torments. That's oppression of the mind, harassment of the mind.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, every one of us in here at one time or another has had Satan or a demon approach us. That doesn't mean we're demon possessed. You understand?
Right.
And we don't have to have something cast out of us.
Right.
But the devil approaches everybody,
Suggests
things to their minds,
Suggests
things that bring fear, that bring worry, that bring anxiety.
Yes.
You've heard a lot about panic attacks, anxiety attacks.
Yep.
See, that's the enemy bringing things to people's minds in order to harass their minds. And if they'll entertain that in their mind, they'll open up to the enemy. And that spirit's not come to bring a blessing. He's come to bring torment. Harass their mind with fear. Harass their mind with thoughts of suicide. Doing harm to themselves. This man was doing, here in Mark 4 or Mark 5, he was doing harm to himself. And we need to know and understand our enemy in the area of the mental.
Yes, come on.
And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yep.
The further you walk with God, the more you're going to have this kind of thing oppose you.
Right.
You understand? Everything's you become more dangerous to the enemy the further you go.
Right.
Yes.
And he's going to, if you don't understand your enemy and his devices, the Bible said don't be ignorant of his devices, then he'll take the advantage. Because the Bible said, lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. We have to understand how people get to like this man in Mark chapter number 5. How do people get to that place? Do they just wake up one morning and they're that way? No. 1,000 times no. The Bible tells us exactly how these things happen. And so we don't want to turn out like this. So we're going to have to study the Bible.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
There's help for people. This ministry, Jesus' ministry was not, and his ministry today, ministering to the oppressed was not a side issue.
No.
If you read his ministry over and over again, he cast out devils. And some of them were not in people's bodies.
Right.
You understand? You remember there was one man brought his son to Jesus. Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, so they ended up, the disciples ended up trying to cast this devil out, and he didn't come out. Not because they couldn't, because he wouldn't. They wouldn't cast him out.
Yes.
Jesus said they could have. He said, "Where's your faith?"
Yes.
But anyway, when Jesus got down off the mountain, Jesus came to this discussion where this man, who the disciples had tried to cast this demon out and couldn't, they could have, but Jesus said they could have, but they didn't. There's a whole lot to that. But anyway, he came upon this discussion. Why? I guess it was probably because why didn't that work?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "What are you discussing with him?" And they said, "Well, the man who brought his son said, I brought my son to you." And of course, the disciples, Jesus was up on the mountain, so they couldn't get to Jesus, so the disciples said, "We'll minister to him." And so, because here's what's going on. He said, this demon, he's normal most of the time, but every now and then this demon will get a hold of him,
uh-huh,
and it'll cast him into the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that was not an oppression of the body. That was a thought that came to that young boy's mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kill yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Cast yourself into the fire, into the water. That's the spirit of suicide.
Yes, right. It is.
And it's a mental thing.
Yes, right.
Now, why am I on this? Because we're going to talk about how to keep these things from getting it to your mind tonight.
Right.
The devil will take as much ground as you'll let him take.
Right.
And you don't have to give him any ground. Amen. You don't have to have any. Now, thoughts will come, but you don't have to take his thoughts.
Yep. Right.
Amen. So these things come to all of us. I mean, somewhere along the line, you've probably had thoughts of all kinds of evil things, you know. You know, we won't reveal yours and I won't reveal mine. See, it's not somebody said, "Well, I'd be scared to tell anybody." Well, it wasn't you that thought it.
That's right.
That's what we got to understand. A lot of these things that come to people, the devil says, "That was your thought. If you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have thought that thought." Well, that wasn't my thought.
That's right.
Wasn't my thought.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
And when the more you recognize that, the more you realize you don't get condemned about it.
Yeah.
It's not your thought unless you pick it up and think it after the devil. And turn that suggestion of the enemy over in your mind. Now you took it into your mind. And that's where Satan starts getting in and getting a hold of people's minds. Now, he doesn't get complete control right away. But if somebody will entertain a thought, you understand, and then they'll just let it grow on the inside. You ever remember 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 talks about it in verse 4 and 5. It talks about weapons of our warfare, not carnal, mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing is also self against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. See, the bottom one is where it starts. It starts with a thought. If you entertain it, it'll become imagination, which means that on the inside it becomes a picture.
Right.
You imagine yourself doing it, or you see yourself doing it, and then it becomes a stronghold if you don't take control of that. But if you start down there on the thought, down on the level of thoughts, it'll never get to be an imagination or never get to be a stronghold. Now, I'm not just talking about things like a thought to kill yourself or a thought to steal something or a thought to murder somebody. I'm talking about a thought. How about a thought of fear? Fear has torment, the Bible said. And God's not giving us the spirit of fear. Fear will come and make suggestions to your mind. But what's he trying to do? He's trying to get you to take that thought, because taking that thought, you will open up to the enemy to oppress your mind. So learn to take those thoughts captive. When thoughts come, do like Jesus did in Luke 4. Answer the thought. Say, "No, it is written." Because Satan suggested three different things to him that we have record of. And he answered every single time, "It's written." He answered with the word of God. And he didn't answer he didn't fight thoughts with thoughts. The thought came to his mind, but he opened his mouth and used his mouth to answer the thoughts. Because you don't fight thoughts with thoughts, you fight thoughts with words.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You answer the thought. You say what the word says,
yes.
that is against what the enemy said.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord. So, these... We just read Mark 5 and then Matthew 4. Jesus' ministry included ministering to the oppressed.
Yes.
So it wasn't a footnote in Jesus' ministry. It was a central theme. And you can see that quite a bit if you really go through there reading and looking for it. And so the deliverance is it's not a doctrine. It's not a denomination. It's not a movement. It's a central part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to people.
Amen.
And I'm particularly, I don't know if the word sensitive to this is the right word, but I'm particularly keen to this kind of thing. Because as a teenager, this is what I was set free from. You've heard me say it. And I talked about the oppression in my mind. It got so bad that I had a constant headache, just tormented. I mean, most people, I guess I haven't said it much, but for years, I mean decades, I never slept more than an hour or two at a time at night. Mm-hmm. I'd have to wake up and get that thing off of me. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know yet how to... I didn't know yet what it was, and I didn't know yet how it got in, and I didn't know yet how to have victory over it. Thank God it ain't that way today.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If I wake up, it's because the Lord wants me to pray or something like that, but I sleep. I can sleep sound. I mean, just...
Amen.
My sleep's totally different than it used to be. But, you know... I don't know why I said all that, but torment's a real thing. It's not a figment of people's imagination. It's a real thing, but there's complete freedom from it, and the Bible has answers for it. I like to have answers, don't you? Somebody said, "How'd you get free?" Somebody cast that thing out of your mind? No, I just simply started learning what the Word said, and just sort of, I just started realizing. I remember when I went to Rhema, Pastor Debbie and I weren't married yet, but they started talking about some of these things. And I'll be honest with you, I first started getting a hold of it in Bible school, but then I started really getting a hold of it in healing school, because Brother Moore, Keith Moore, there was the main instructor there in the afternoons. And he didn't just minister to people in the area of the body. He ministered a lot to people that were vexed mentally and tormented. We saw a lot of people changed. I told you this. You might have heard the story. I remember one lady. She was coming, and she was so vexed, because you can see it in people's eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I see it all over Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
People are vexed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
The body of Christ ought to be the happiest people on the planet, because we're not troubled. We're not living in worry.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Oppressed and heavy and depressed.
Right.
Sometimes we're in restaurants and we're just fellowshipping, and we get to laughing and rejoicing and have a good time. We look around like, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry." Everybody's looking at us. We're just free. Sorry, you're not free. I mean, we're just free. Been bound and now I'm free. Praise God.
Amen.
Pastors, some friends of mine and I went on a vacation together a couple summers in a row. And we had so much fun. I remember when we went to see Old Faithful. We were up there in Montana. What's that? Yellowstone National Park. We were up there. we were having such fun. People, we looked around. Some people were snarling at us. Snarling. That's devils. We weren't telling dirty jokes or anything. We're just having a good old high time. Nothing unclean, nothing immoral, nothing off color, nothing like that. Just enjoying life.
Yeah.
Amen. And the devils and everybody around us couldn't stand that we were having a happy time. The devil's depressed, do you know that? There's no joy in hell.
There ain't no joy.
There's no joy, and there's nothing but oppression. You know, only oppressed and tormented and harassed and fearful people make people oppressed, tormented, and harassed and fearful.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And that's all the devil's going around doing, oppressing, stealing, killing, and destroying, tormenting, hurting, abusing, depressing people, harassing their minds. You know why? Because he's harassed, he's oppressed, he's tormented. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. I'm not. I'm happy. I'm free. And I'm telling you, people that are bound can't stand it. I said, they just can't stand it. Amen. I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. They can have what I have. But see, I came up in a home where there was mental oppression. And I'm sensitive to that stuff. I can't stand that stuff. Now, I don't mean I'm mean on people. I just don't like the enemy. I don't like what he does to people. And so I have a heart to see people free. Amen. Just want to see people free. Enjoying and having the joy of their salvation. Doesn't matter if their bills at home are stacking up and they aren't paid.
Come on.
You don't need, those bills don't give you permission to be glad and have a good week.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how ugly somebody's being to you. You know, over in the book of Joshua, Numbers, actually. It's recorded in Numbers, where it talks about the 10 spies came back with an evil report, 2 came back with a good report. And the good report people were saying, let's go, but once, man, we can take it, we can put it. And they were excited. They knew they could do it. They were believing God. They had a good report. No depression, no heaviness. No, we're going to die if we go in there. And the other people, they snarled at him. They wanted to kill him. That's because they're listening to the wrong voice. I said they're listening to the wrong voice. Well, just because somebody else is listening to the wrong voice doesn't mean I'm listening to the wrong voice. And that wrong voice is oppressing them, but the voice I'm listening to is giving me a high time. Praise God. I have good days whenever there's nothing going right. Hallelujah. I have a merry heart and a continual feast. I've heard sometimes, people kind of talk to me sometimes. They didn't actually say it this way, but I can tell they're thinking it. Don't you ever have anything go bad, Pastor? You don't seem to be oppressed or anything or heavy. Don't you have anything go bad? I can tell they're thinking it.
Yeah.
But sometimes I say, I know what you're thinking, but you might think I don't have any trouble or anything. But honestly, you wouldn't want to trade mine for yours. It's just that I don't let it get on the inside of me, and that's not what I'm looking at, and I'm not the devil's pack mule. You know what I mean by the devil's pack mule? Carrying around everything he wants to load me down with and weigh me down with, weigh my mind down with. I'm not the devil's pack mule. I'm not going to haul his stuff around for my whole life and then go to heaven and be glad when I get to heaven. I'm going to have heaven on earth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's just a lot of people don't understand that. There's just a lot of people don't understand that. But that's their problem. They can come on in anytime they want to come in. It's a faith issue, to be honest with you. Anyway, well, how did I get on that? Praise the Lord. Praise God. So Jesus, this wasn't a side issue with Jesus or a side ministry. This is main theme here. So when you see these words here in Matthew 4:24, especially, torments, possessed with devils, lunatic, he's talking about mental problems or mental issues. Now today, the devil likes to cover these things up with terms like bipolar, schizophrenic, things like that. Why don't we just stay with what the Bible says they are? I'm not saying those terms are wrong, but I'm just simply saying we got to know the root. We got to understand how the devil, how he works in people's minds, tries to oppress their minds. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, there's a whole lot we could say about that. But like I said, I was mentally oppressed and nobody cast anything out of me. I just learned what the Word of God said about my thought life. If you've ever studied the thought life in the Bible talks a lot about you and my thought life, the believer's thought life. Just take Isaiah 26:3. Thou keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. On thee. Or how would you stay your mind on the Lord? You stay it on his word. Because his word is his thoughts. God sent his thoughts to us for us to think his thoughts after him, and so that we could have his peace. Remember, Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." Remember, John 14, verse number, what is it, 30? 27. "But my peace I leave with you, my own peace I give unto you." Remember, his peace was sleeping in a storm whenever he was in the back of the boat. I mean, you don't think that was a big cruise liner like you get on when you go on a cruise. That boat was probably no longer, maybe not even this long, from that pole to that wall.
Yeah.
That's not a big boat. Probably wasn't even that big, to be honest. But he's in a little bus. That's basically a little boat out there whenever that water's going like, and he's back there cutting Z's.
Yeah.
Now that's peace.
Yeah.
That boat's going like this.
Yeah.
And he's back there sleeping.
Yeah.
That's the peace he had, and that's the peace he left you and I.
Amen.
Not dependent on circumstances. So, but he said, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world give I unto you, give I unto you." Then he said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So he's basically saying, I gave you my peace, which should settle you down, settle your thought life down. Amen.
Amen.
But he said, don't let your heart be troubled.
Right.
So the word, "my peace I leave with you," the Amplified says, "bequeath to you." That's what that's part of our inheritance. Like you go to the reading of a will and they bequeath something to every person, you know, and your inheritance is in there. So Jesus is saying, this is what I'm leaving, but I'm leaving my peace with you.
Yes.
You ought to find out what he left with you.
Yeah, amen.
He went, but he said his name is still here.
That's right.
Amen. No other name given among men under heaven given among. So he's gone, but his name is still here. It's among men, given among men.
Yes, amen.
So we got his name, we got his peace, we got his joy.
Glory.
He left all that with us.
Yes.
We shouldn't look like we're baptized in vinegar or sucking a pickle.
Amen.
Amen. We got joy, we got peace.
Yes.
But you don't know how they're treating me. Yeah, and you don't know how much that can be just put aside in your thought life, and you could just have a high old time anyway.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, that's right.
If you properly cast your care on the Lord and walk in the joy of the Lord and the peace of God, and you walk in that properly, people will think you lost your mind. They'll think, bless his darling heart, he doesn't even know what's going on. Doesn't even know all the trouble. But like Brother Higgins said, thank God I did lose my mind. Got the mind of Christ. Got the mind of Christ. I took on his thoughts. And I don't let my heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Don't you know what's going on?
Uh-huh.
Don't you know what's going on in the election? Don't you know what's going on in the country? Don't you know? Sure, I know.
Yeah. Thank
you. I ain't worried about it.
I
spent an hour praying about it last night and then just said, okay, I did my part. Praise God.
Amen.
I don't care the care of it. I'm not the Savior of the world.
No, you're not.
You're not the Savior of the world. You and I yield to the Holy Ghost, and we do our part, and we exercise our authority.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
But then we go enjoy our salvation, which, by the way, is not dependent on who's president. I don't know how I got on that. But, you know, we need to wean ourselves off of, you know, being so moved by all this outward stuff. Our joy is internal. It comes from the inside.
Amen.
Ha, ha, ha. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not the Savior.
You're not the Savior.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We've had people not understand why we don't take the care of their physical condition in the doctor's reports. Well, don't you care? No. Well, the Bible told me not to take any care.
That's right.
Don't be anxious or be careful for anything.
Right.
For anything. That includes you.
Yeah.
More pastors quit every year because of taking the care of the church on them than any other thing.
Come on.
I have compassion.
Yeah.
Love people.
Yes.
But I'm not your healer. Well, I thought I'm not your healer.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll help you, pray for you, lay hands on you,
yes,
release my faith,
yes,
and minister the power of God.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You know what I'm going to do whenever I leave your telephone? When I leave your house or your wherever, uh-huh, or this healing line or something like that, I'm going to go home and I'm going to enjoy my salvation.
Yes.
Well, aren't you going to carry the weight of it? Nope.
No.
Jesus carried it all.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, don't you care? Oh, yeah. Not in the way you're talking about.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, right, come on.
But I have compassion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, he just doesn't love people. You don't know what love is. Love turns it into the hands of somebody that can do something about it. And guess what? If it's in my hands or it's in your hands, it can't be in your and my hands and be in God's hands all at the same time. Cast your care over on the Lord. Amen. It could be that that's what got you sick to begin with. Carrying the cares of life. That's what he told the woman with the issue of blood there when they're in verse 34 in the Amplified. Uh-huh. Go into peace and be continually healed. She wasn't in peace.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Get that. She was sick because, yes, she wasn't in peace.
That's right.
She wasn't in peace and she was sick.
Yes.
It could be that that lack of peace was what brought that condition,
wow,
on. He said, go into peace, the Amplified Classic, and be continually healed. In other words, that's the reason she got sick to begin with. And so to stay, because now she's healed, but to stay healed, she's going to have to stay in,
yes,
peace.
Yeah. Yes.
So it could be that worrying is why a person got sick to begin with. Why would I contribute to their sickness by worrying and speaking words of worry to them? I'm just going to speak words of faith to them. Trust they can hook up with me. Amen. Ha, ha, ha. Doctors found that out. They learned, you know, just a few centuries late. A few millennia late. That they'll tell you today, worry is one of the, and anxiety and
so
all that is one of the main reasons people,
yes,
visit their offices.
Yes,
well, Jesus told us that 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Actually, the Old Testament told us that about 4,000 years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They just now caught up with the Bible.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Having a good time tonight. Ha, ha, ha. Somebody's getting free tonight. Ha, ha, ha. Getting your care cast over on the Lord. I've had people that didn't like me, didn't like my preaching, and I just go my way and just say, ha, ha, ha. My joy's not in their head.
That's right. Too bad for them.
Yeah, too bad for them. Praise God. Pastor Nancy said some lady met her in a store one day. It was a grocery store. She was in the grocery store, I think. And lady met her and said, oh, you know, Pastor Nancy, it's so good to see you, you know. I'm a member of the church and all that. She hadn't seen her for a long time, you know. I know I haven't been there for a while, but I'm going to be there this Sunday. She said, I know that'll make you glad. Pastor Nancy said, honey, my joy is not dependent on you coming to church. Your joy is dependent on you coming,
yes,
to church.
Amen.
I just like that. That's sound thinking.
Yeah.
Amen. If I depended on people showing up for my joy, I'd be on 17 medications right now. I'd be seeing geckos on the wall. I'd be a wreck. I'd open the door to the devil,
yeah,
with worry and anxiety. Oh, the church. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Probably 15 years ago or so, I don't normally get the flu anymore. I learned how to keep from getting it. Praise God. But this particular winter, I got the flu about 3 different times. So I think it was the second or third time, probably about the third time. I said, all right, Lord, what is it? This isn't normal. See, a lot of Christians are, it's just normal. Well, for me, it's not normal. Remember we talked about in Exodus, talks about, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you.
Yes, yes.
Well, yeah, but everybody gets the flu. Yeah, everybody but me.
Yeah, thank you.
Because he took sickness away from
thank
me. So it's not normal. So anyway, this particular winter, I got it probably about 3 times. And I said, all right, Lord, what is it? God says, this ain't normal. Don't just accept something.
Right.
Don't just accept it.
Yes.
One thing I appreciate about my wife, she has things come against her body, and she'll just say no, 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 and just refuses to have it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I like that about her. She inspires me.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
But here's the, I had that year, 15 years, I'd say about 15 years ago. And I said, all right, well, Lord, what is it? He said two things. One of them was personal, wasn't anybody else's business. But the second one, he said, you've been taking the care of everybody in the church and everybody that tells you what's going on in their life. You've been taking the care of that. I said, Lord, you're right. I know it. I know. How many of you ever had the Lord say something 2 minutes before you just said it wasn't so? As soon as the Lord said it, so, oh, I see it. I see it. I see it.
Yep.
And I saw it. I saw it. I said, okay, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me.
Yeah.
And I got that off of me. Praise God. Helping somebody. The word helps us, doesn't it? So my testimony is I used to carry a lot of mental oppression. But thank God, by the grace of God, through the word of God, I'm completely free today.
Amen.
Amen. Didn't have to have anybody lay hands on me, cast anything off of me.
Amen.
If that would have happened, it would have only been temporary help. Because Jesus said he'll come back.
Yes.
What are you going to do when he comes back?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have the word in you to know how to keep him from coming back, then he'll be able to successfully get back in.
Yeah.
And so I just simply started hearing, like I said, it started in Rhema, but then in healing school, Brother Keith Moore a lot, talked about the mind a lot and the thought life a lot. And it's amazing how much the Bible talks about it. And my goodness, where did time go? But it's all through the Bible.
Yeah.
Like Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, perfect peace. That doesn't sound like text, tormented or vexed or lunatic. That will keep him in perfect peace. Amen. Whose mind? Oh, so maybe like the man, madman of Gadara, it started with something coming to his mind. Not maybe, absolutely. That's the way it happens.
Amen.
That's the way it happens. Every single time.
Yes.
The devil can't get a hold of anybody. He can't even get a hold of an unsaved person's mind if they won't take his thoughts. There have been people I've heard just out of deciding not to think that way and so forth that were bound with fear of flying in an airplane. That just decide, I'm going to conquer. They weren't even saved. I'm going to conquer this. And they conquered it. Now they're totally able to fly without, doesn't bother them at all. Not even saved. Now that's a weak devil that can't even oppress one of his own. He's a pretty defeated little dude. Huh? No wonder you can ping and cast him out. Like Jesus said, finger of God, I cast him out by the finger of God. He's not big and bad.
No.
He's defeated.
He's defeated.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Man, I wish I had about 13 sessions on this. I don't ever finish preaching anymore. I just preach. I introduce things and then I, time to go. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I've been in torment. Now I'm in peace and peace is a lot better. But God offers this to every one of his children. The chastisement of our peace was on him. Praise God. He took this mental vexation and this torment. Peace I leave with you. Amen. So this church, we've endeavored to share that a lot. And of course, when we got hooked up with Pastor Nancy, oh my goodness, she took the revelation to a whole new level. I mean, if this is something that you still find yourself being harassed in, I think we still got the books in the bookstores. I mean, I'm 100% sure. Answer it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And peace. There's Pastor Nancy's book on peace. I got that book on worry.
Yes.
I mean, get that out and just devour it.
Yes.
And let God show you how to control your thought life.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so a lot of people suffer because they've not been taught along these lines.
Yeah.
The church is full of people that are oppressed. I mean, I'm not talking about one church or our church, but, you know, the church, the body of Christ at large.
Yes.
And we have compassion on those people, Pastor Debbie and I both.
Yeah.
Because I know we were, attacked in our minds, both of us. But then certain giftings seem to have certain attacks.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah.
But I've had friends that I don't understand why that comes against you so much. I said, well, you got a different office.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Remember, he said he was sitting and clothing in his right mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind.
Yes.
Sound mind.
Amen.
Say it out loud. Sound mind.
Sound.
That's a mind. The thoughts are not deranged. They're not frantic. They're not racing. You know what I mean by that? They're not the mind that doesn't magnify fears over reality. I'm thinking of a young man who was a part of the church for a while. Oh my goodness, the call and the graces on that young man's life. You just, you know, when you see people not follow through with the word and go their own way because of the fleshly appetites and go into some of the most unsound thinking.
Yeah.
He got to the place that in his apartment, he would run out of his apartment and say, well, the government's looking through the TV at me. The government's looking through the TV at me.
Wow.
Just deranged.
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, they can do that nowadays. I know, but so what? I'm not going to lose my mind over it.
Come on.
That doesn't mean they're watching all the time anyway.
That's right. Come on.
And I'm not afraid if they do.
Thank you.
I just...
Exactly.
I heard a minister, this traveling minister, say one time, they travel all over the United States, always in hotels. And you see these reports out that there's a kind of an epidemic, I guess, now. People hiding cameras in hotels.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. And this minister, I don't know, somehow we got to talking about it. And this minister said, well, who cares? If they want to look at this, this ain't much to look at. This just ain't much to look at. Then knock yourself out, you know. In other words, I'm not going to live in fear and anxiety and go in there going, who's, they're watching me. That's sound. This is rare tonight. I don't know. Hallelujah. So you just walk around the whole place going, hi, everybody. That doesn't mean people get crazy in their heads. Fears, see, an unsound mind, fears are magnified over realities.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Or imaginations
yes.
rule over reality.
Yes.
They imagine things.
Yes.
You know, you hear noises outside and imagine somebody's trying to break in. I always imagine it's a coon. Because they climb up on our porch and stuff. Anyway, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, those people are creepy. They're looking at people. Yeah, and I got authority over creeps. Praise the Lord. Now, let's finish this up. I know it's late here. But Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Notice you're supposed to be saying things to something. Notice talking to mountains is scriptural. Talking to something that looks impossible. That's what a mountain is. It's something that seems impossible. Seems like you can't overcome it. It can't be moved. It's been there forever and it'll always be there. Say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast. So you're supposed to talk to things. Now, Jesus told us to talk to mountains. He talked to fig trees. He talked to wind and waves. He talked to fevers. He talked to dead men. He talked to things that most Christians wouldn't think to talk to.
Right. Come on.
And tell you something else he talked to. He talked to thoughts.
Yes, he did.
Come on
now.
Come on.
Amen. Luke 4, all those suggestions that came to him. I mean, you know, temptations. The Bible calls them temptations. They were not, the devil didn't appear to him. And I got scripture for it. Because the Bible says that he's tempted in all points like as we are. And the devil doesn't appear to us. Maybe on a rare occasion, but that's really not the devil anyway. That's just one of his little imps. You understand what I'm talking about? So he was tempted so how does Satan tempt us? You know, Jesus was tempted there to cast himself off the pinnacle of the temple. You know what that was? A suggestion from a spirit of suicide.
Amen.
And so these things came to Jesus, but they came in the form of thoughts. That's how they come to you and I, because he's tempted like we are, like you and I are, and that's how the devil works. He doesn't want you to recognize that it's him. So he talks in this ear and then comes over here and whispers, if you were really Christian, you wouldn't have thought that thought.
Come on.
He's trying to hide. He doesn't want to be exposed. He doesn't want to appear to people in some sort of manifestation, because then you'd know it was the devil. He wants to sneak up on people so they don't recognize that it's him. So Jesus was tempted in all points. Now, how did he deal with all those suggestions that came to his mind? To cast himself off the pinnacle of the temple, command the stone be turned to bread. How did he deal with that? He said, it is written. So he not only talked to wind and waves and fevers and things, he talked to thoughts. So really, you and I have not entered into the full scope of faith unless you are talking to thoughts. You need to write that down.
Yes.
You don't just talk to God. Prayer is talking to God. There's times you don't have to talk to God. You talk to the suggestion. You answer the thought. What do I say? You answer the word that contradicts what he said.
Right.
Well, what if I don't know the word?
Amen.
Well, you better get busy then. Because that's how you overcome these things.
Yes.
You answer lies with truth.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. And that's how you'll stay from becoming like the madman of Gadara. See, the devil will take as much ground as a person will let him. And if they'll just take one thought, and then he'll just keep harassing them with that thought, why that thought, until if they keep on going with it, it'll make them crazy. Drive them crazy, as we say, so to speak. And so not doing the right thing. Anybody's going to have these thoughts come to them. You haven't done something wrong because it came to you, or you haven't failed because the thought came to you. It's what you do when it comes.
Yes.
That determines whether you succeed or you fail or not. And this is a big issue when it comes to faith. Because faith will not let thoughts that go against what it's believing for run through its mind. Run through the mind. Remember, the Bible talks about Abraham, by faith, he received, basically the ability to have a child. And then it said he considered not his own body. See, faith won't let a man just think any thought.
Right.
Faith will demand, I'm not going to think that thought. I'm going to say what the word says. And it's weak faith that doesn't control the thought life. It says, being not weak in faith, he considered not. Weak faith considers something other than what we're believing for. In other words, what do I mean consider? It entertains something in its mind, in the mind, against what it's believing for.
Yes.
Strong faith will rise up, like I say, get up on its hind legs and say, no, it's written.
Come on.
That's how you fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Everybody say, I'm going to learn to fight the good fight of faith. I mean, you wake up in the middle of the night, a suggestion or a thought comes to you, even if it's against somebody, and a thought of offense or something like that. Don't just roll over and say, I'm not going to think that thought. Jesus didn't roll over and say, I'm not going to think about that thought of casting myself off the pinnacle of the temple. He said something.
Exactly. Yes.
It's not just having an empty mind, or I'm not going to think that thought. I'm just going to empty my mind and not think that thought. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on nothing. Huh? No. Whose mind has stayed on thee. In other words, it's replacing the thought. I said it's replacing the thought. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And without doing that, then you'll give place to oppression. You know what I mean by that? If it's fear that's coming to you. Without answering that fear and saying, the word of God says, let's say it's a fear of dying young or something like that. You answer the thought with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God, or whatever. There's other scriptures about long life, many other scriptures. And you just don't entertain those thoughts. That's where a lot of people are defeated. They're defeated in their thought life. Amen. This is called spiritual warfare. A lot of people, they talk about spiritual warfare up in the heavenlies. But if they just deal with what's going on between their ears, boy, they'd have a lot of victories. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, I'm going to wrap it up with this. One of the devil's devices is to send, is to present you with a thought and try to get you to take it. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 6, take no thought saying. He didn't say thoughts won't come. He said, whenever they do come, don't take them. The wrong thoughts. And in the context is thoughts of worry about finances or the material needs of life. He said, whenever those thoughts of, you know, worry come to your mind about the material needs of life, don't take those thoughts and say what those thoughts say. It's legal for you not to repeat everything that comes to your mind. Every mind needs a bouncer by the doors. Check an ID. Check in scripture and verse. Pastor, I've heard this. I heard you preach this many times. I know, but I just love it. I'm going to preach it to myself. This is what got me free, and this is what keeps me free. Thank God. Pastor Nancy's so clear on this. That's why I just feed on it all the time, because it's changed my life. So what does it mean, taking a thought? Because there's a difference between a thought coming to you and you taking that thought. Pastor, I know this. I know, but just be refreshed in it. Listen. You'll be amazed after hearing this again tonight. You'll realize, oh, I took a thought. I took the wrong thought. That's why I started getting heavy. That's why I started getting irritated. That's why I wasn't... Wasn't walking in the joy of the Lord. Or I took something from the enemy. Some thought from my circumstances. Listen, and he's going to talk to you out here, but he's going to talk to you many times through circumstances. Amen. Well, that pain, I don't know if that's what that problem is. Well, it might just be exercised too hard last night or something like that. Don't take the worst. Believe the worst all the time.
Amen. Yes, sir. Come on.
Yeah. So amen.
Amen.
You get a little hooga-mooga. Oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. People like that, their minds are not renewed. For their minds to go to the worst all the time, they don't have a controlled thought life.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I've had alarming symptoms in my body at times in my life, and it really was screaming, you need to go to the doctor. Yeah. I check my spirit, no alarm.
Yeah, that's right.
So I go,
Amen. Come on. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm trying to quit. I got to get this one part out, though. Okay, take no thought. What does it mean to take the thought? It means that the thought came, but you did something more. You turned it over in your mind, and you made it a part of your thought life. You know what I mean by turn it over in your mind? In other words, when it came, you fought the thought after the enemy. Amen. It's not yours because it came. But if you take it, it becomes yours. You've heard me illustrate, Brother Carlos, stand up. And this is real quick. I won't take long. You heard me illustrate if I'm fellowshipping with Brother Carlos and I just secretly put a bag of marijuana right there in his pocket. You heard me use this illustration before? Yeah, but you forgot it, so now you need to remember it. And we're fellowshipping, having a good time, and say, man, it's good to see you. And I pat him right there. And Carlos, what's that? That just looks kind of funny. It smells kind of funny. And I get it out, it's a bag of marijuana. Brother Carlos, if you were really a Christian, here you are preaching sometimes at Spirit of Faith Family Church. Thanks, you can sit down. How many of you know he'd say, that's not mine? Right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't. Why? Because I put it there.
Right, sir.
Well, that's what the devil does. He puts a thought in your mind or brings a thought to your mind, and then he says it's yours. It's not yours just because it came.
That's right.
It's yours if you take it and start thinking it after him.
Come on. Amen.
Yeah, come on now.
That's good. Hallelujah. And you have the authority to not take thoughts, not just take every thought that comes to your mind. You don't have to think every thought or talk about everything that comes to your mind.
Say it.
If you were in the store and tempted to steal something, you wouldn't go out and blab it on Facebook, would you? Well, why are you talking about every one of your doubts that come to your mind? Just because it came doesn't mean it's yours. It can come and you can say something different. Because I don't believe what came. I don't believe the thought. I believe what I believe.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So don't repeat everything that comes to your mind. Well, Pastor, I need to confess to you. I had a bad thought about you. I was offended. I was thinking thoughts of offense last night. Listen, did you tell anybody else? No, I didn't tell anybody. All right, don't even tell me. I don't even need to know it. Just deal with it in your own life. Well, I just need to repent to you. No, you don't have to repent to me. Just get it right between you and God.
Yes, amen.
I don't want my head filled with all your thoughts. Or they're not your thoughts anyway. They're the devil's thoughts.
Exactly.
Amen.
Not your thought. You have the authority not to take thoughts. Hallelujah. It only becomes a part of your thought life if you take it. And it only begins to unsettle and trouble you if you take it. He can't trouble you just out here and you not taking it. Woo, that's good victory right there. Hallelujah. Remember the Bible says, give no place to the devil. This is one way you give place to the devil. You take his thoughts. You entertain his thoughts. Amen. But if you answer it and refuse to entertain his thoughts, he'll have to leave. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So don't yield to that thought. And some thoughts come in the form of suggestions. Amen. And some suggestions just keep on coming. I've had people say, just a thought of suicide just keeps coming to me.
Come on.
See, what's he trying to do? He's trying to get you to take it.
Yep.
Maybe you rebuked it, but it tries to come back.
Yeah.
See, he's trying to get you to take it.
Right. Yep.
What's his strategy?
Uh-huh.
You can see this on the news every day. His strategy is just keep saying the lie, just keep saying the lie, and eventually people start believing the lie. But listen, it's no more true the 50th time somebody said it as it was the first time somebody said it.
Amen. Yes,
amen.
Including what the devil keeps saying to your mind. That doesn't make it true because he keeps saying it, keeps saying it, keeps saying it. What makes it true was if it's the word of God or not.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have to learn to cast down these things or else they'll take you down. Just absolutely take you down. Cast them down or they'll cast you down. Or they'll cast down your faith. They'll overthrow your faith. But thank God you don't have to let that happen. Well, did you get anything out of this tonight? Man, that's just, I feel like I barely did the subject justice. There's so much to say, but let's stand to our feet. Praise God. I'm telling you, there's enough power in what I said already to just tell the devil, now shut up now. just stop that harassment right now. In fact, I believe some of you need to answer some things right now. Just right where you are. Satan, you take that thought and leave. I rebuke that thought. It's written in the Word of God and replace it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could be a thought of offense, could be a thought of fear, could be a thought of failure, could be a thought of going under financially, could be a thought of somebody doesn't love me anymore, could be a thought of divorce. Amen. Praise God, we got the victory by telling the enemy what the truth is. Telling him what the truth is. Remember, Brother Copeland said, actually, I think it was Gloria Copeland said the story. Somebody came to healing school, and Brother Copeland's mother was teaching the healing school that particular time. She's in heaven now. But a Baptist minister came to healing school, needed healed of something. And he went up afterwards and told Brother Copeland's mother what the condition was. And she said, well, tell me the truth about it. He looked at her, wasn't sure what that meant. So he told her the story again about how he was diagnosed and what the condition was and what the doctor said and all that. And she said, well, tell me the truth about it.
Right.
And that went on 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Finally, the man said, what do you mean keep tell me the truth? Tell me what the Word of God says about it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what the enemy needs to hear. And when he hears what you have to say about what the Word of God says about it, you'll hear this little sound I've been hearing a lot lately. You know, that's like a dog running off that you whooped. That's the way of the devil. He'll flee. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That sounds like this. Hallelujah. Give God a shout tonight.
Glory!
Why? Because we got answers tonight. I don't care if you've known this for 20 years. I've known it longer than 20 years. But it's just still so good to hear it.
Yes,
it is. It's so good to hear it. Bible said he came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. This is part of the abundant life. Not tormented, not harassed.
Amen.
Amen. And let me say something else, husbands and wives. You don't have to speak every word of strife that comes to your mind against your spouse. Oh, maybe somebody over here maybe needs to hear that. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe something really gets under your saddle or something like that. You just spoke the words of the devil
exactly.
to bring strife into your marriage.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Now, there might be a way and time to talk about it that's not strifeful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. You still want me to say it?
Yeah.
Okay. But listen, we all know that there's a time to say things and a way to say things. And when we're really irritated, it's not the time or the way to say it.
Exactly. Exactly. Amen.
Bible said be slow to speak, quick to hear and slow to speak. Bible said, amen, to basically, paraphrasing, think before you speak. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise the Lord. Your husband called and wanted me to say that. So anyway.
Hallelujah.
Isn't it good to have the answers? Isn't it good to have answers?
Yes.
Not harassed anymore.
Yes.
Somebody's going to sleep better tonight than you've slept for a long time.
Yes.
Just comes up in my spirit. Because you realize tonight what it was. It was a bunch of oppression. Three reasons Christians can't sleep. One could be because something's bothering their spirit. Their conscience is bothering them. Number two, somebody can't sleep because of the racing thoughts. Or thoughts from the enemy, harassing their mind. Number three, something's wrong with their physical body. You know, somebody could not sleep because of pain or something like that.
Yeah.
Amen. But a vast majority is because of people's thought life and minds.
Amen.
I tell you, you need to be able to, like, I heard this about Pastor Kenneth Hagin Jr. They said he was this way, is this way. They said he would, he could pretty much be holding a conversation with you and said, okay, I'm going to bed, and be snoring within about a minute. That's the way you and I need to, we need to reach for that.
Come on.
Rather than lay there going, oh, my mind's just going and going for an hour. We need to learn to just turn it off, click.
Yes.
Amen. And don't you women, don't tell me you don't snore. I know better.
Oh, please.
We won't say anything about our, anyway. Before I get in trouble, greet your neighbor and tell them, I am free, I am free, I am free. Free in my mind. Free in my mind. And then turn to your other neighbor and say, also, I'm free from your opinion about me, too. Ooh, glory be to God. Well, I don't think you did a good job at that. Well, I'm free from what you think about it. Free from what you think about it. Praise God. You ought to try preaching in front of Pastor Nancy and the thoughts going, well, she didn't think this way. She didn't think I was just like, shut up, devil, shut up.
Amen.
Praise God, praise God. Give God a shout before you go. Free, 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 free. Free, free, free. Amen.